Brooke Concho, then Ed Evlantis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. All right, we've been putting people on this week and next week who want to be mayor of the city of Chicago because, let's face it, we're about a month, 7 weeks away, I think, from the from election. 7 weeks from today?
Seven weeks from today,
Lori Lightfoot, who wants to be the mayor of this city of Chicago for reasons, again, that elude me. But we will talk to her about that. I'm sure she can explain it. All right. First of all, your thoughts, Lori, on the news keeps changing every day here in terms of, you know, what's happening with Ed Burke. The picture that is being revealed is that Ed Burke was sort of the silent mayor of Chicago. He was running a $100 million budget himself, you know, more than that, actually, total budget, finance committee. But $100 million, workman's comp fund of some sort. Where was that money going? Was it being always properly used? He had his own police officers. He had city police cars that were used for his disposal. I mean, and no one wanted to do anything about it. Nobody wanted to call him on it. Rahm Emanuel didn't want to call him on it because he had to go work with him. Do you think Ed Burke's going to be there if you become mayor?
Look, it's going to be obviously up to the voters of his ward to decide whether or not he gets over the threshold victorious in the election. But I can tell you, and I've been very upfront about this for a long time, Ed Burke, no one should be able to amass that kind of unchecked power. The fact that he was able to run a $100 million workers' compensation program with no budget limit, with no transparency, is absolutely absurd. That's a basic HR function that should have been in the executive branch. You know, frankly, Bill Daley cut the deal that made Ed Burke finance chair, and over time, he accumulated all
Bill
this.
Daley did?
Bill Daley.
How did Bill Daley do that?
Ed Burke was making noises that he was going to run against Rich Daley in 1989. Bill Daley was the campaign chairman for Rich Daley. He cut the deal with Burke to take him off of the ballot, and the quid pro quo there was to put him in charge of the finance committee. But fundamentally, this issue that now is erupting and people are scrambling and trying to present themselves as more progressive and reform-minded when they never were, it speaks to a broken political system. We've got different factions of that system that are running, that are vying for the status quo. But now that the light has been exposed on what, frankly, people all over the city who followed politics know has been going on for decades, they're now finally trying to distance themselves. But keep in mind, when the FBI executed the search warrants on his ward office and his city office, most of the candidates in this race for mayor remained silent. I was one of the few that spoke up.
I want to ask you about that, Lori, because you were also one of the first to say those who got into this race after Mayor Emanuel announced that he wasn't running should get out because you felt as if, why weren't you here before? And some of those names have resurfaced as those with ties to Alderman Burke. Do you feel it's impossible to have the ties of the political power structure of the city and govern well for or speak for the people city?
I think the question is, where have you been? A lot of those people, whether it's Tony Preckwinkle, Bill Daley, Gary Chico, Susana Mendoza, when Rahm Emanuel was still running, they were silent. They did not stand up. They did not articulate a critique of where the city was, and they certainly didn't take issue with the way in which he was running the city and articulate a vision for the future. So the fact that they jumped in after Goliath was slayed and then suddenly found this political courage, I think, frankly, the farsity of their actions is really being revealed the more we start unraveling the various threads related to Ed Burke.
All right, so the question really then is, who's gonna take over running all of that stuff? I mean, obviously we want to put it in capable hands here. And if Ed Burke, you know, doesn't return to city council, if, you know, there's some sort of legal way that he doesn't return, I mean, my guess is he will still be elected in February. I'm just gonna, you know. Just going to guess that?
Look, the guy's got $12 million. FBI goes in and executes search warrants, and 2,000 people show up days later to kiss the ring at his annual fundraiser. So you can't count him out.
Right. No, I'm pretty sure he's going to stay as an alderman. But the question is, will he be able to serve out his term, and will he be, you know, when are the is he going to actually be indicted? When will the trial? He's been indicted, but when will the trial happen? You know, that's, and this takes a long time in the federal system, right? So this, and we'll see. Does he still want to do all that? Now, they've, in the meantime, you know, he's lost his car. He's, you know, he's lost his, the, he's no longer finance chairman. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to, you know, whatever is going to happen.
He might have to give up his office. His name's been blacked out on the door to his, you know, finance chair office.
Yeah, the finance chair office. But he'll get an aldermanic cubicle back if he wants that. What about that $100 million, though? Mm-hmm. Where does that go?
Look, I'm very concerned about it. I mean, the thing that has to happen, and now finally Rahm Emanuel has called for it, there's got to be a top-to-bottom audit. You got to look under every rock, every file, every corner. I mean, one of the things, for example, that the FBI found out when they went back the second time to Burke's office is he's got his own email server. So we don't know a lot about how that money has been spent. We don't know the lawyers that have been hired. We don't know the doctors. We don't know whether and how they're making their decision making about workers' comp. Did Ed Burke, you know, shudder to think, require certain homage be paid to him in order to be in that money game with workers' comp? We don't know anything about it because there literally has been zero transparency. So one of the most important things now is Rahm Emanuel needs to get that audit up and running and then be transparent about it.
All right, I'm going to ask you this question then. Lori Lightfoot, you want to be mayor of the city of Chicago. All right, let's say that the feds have now cracked the finance committee and this what some people are calling a slush fund, right, of $100 million. Mm-hmm. What's next? What would you do? And let's assume that egg is cracked. What's the next egg to crack there? And what egg would you want to crack if you became mayor?
Well, I would want to bring that back into the executive function. I'd want to put an HR professional who has experience in workers' comp. Some people said, well, give it to the law department. No, give it to somebody who actually has the expertise and the bandwidth to be able to run that program, do a top-to-bottom audit, see what the audit finds. But meanwhile, make sure that there are transparent rules of engagement for people who want to get or are applying for workers' comp, because obviously there's legitimate reasons why people need workers' compensation.
But is there another program in city government? Is there another agency
that
needs to crack?
Well, I mean, yes, where do we begin?
Just give me one.
Where I'd start is we don't have a risk management function in the city. That means we don't have somebody who looks out for waste, fraud, and abuse at every city agency. And that's, frankly, one of the reasons why, you know, we have...
But we did, actually, for a while, but then they moved... every one of those functions got... Like, the oversight of the city council was... basically stopped.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a different thing. I'm talking about from a financial standpoint, right? You're talking about the city council's inspector general.
Right.
Now that function is partly with Joe Ferguson. I'm talking about somebody from a fiscal standpoint who's looking at how money is spent, whether or not there's efficiencies that we can be gained. We're almost in $9 billion budget a year just in the city itself, and that doesn't, of course, count the sister agencies. No one's job is it to look at where are we seeing constant risk, how do we mitigate it, and what do we put controls in place to make sure that we're not, frankly...
Is that an individual or a company has to do that, or a law firm?
Well, it's a function. It's an individual who's responsible, but you've got to have a unit of people that are basically auditors that are responsible for making sure that we identify and mitigate risk. Nothing like that exists.
Should that be an elected official, or should that be an appointed official, and by whom?
It should be an appointed official. I think by the mayor. It should be
with the city council signing off.
Of course, with city council signing off, they should be issuing regular audit reports. But somebody has to be focused on making sure that we're not basically lighting taxpayer dollars on fire.
I think a lot of us have scratched our heads in the journalism community and general citizens about people in public office who have businesses that seem to profit from their public lives, and tax appeals is one of them. And we know Alderman Ed Burke is one of those people. But today I saw you have a new pledge for the people first, and you said that aldermen really should have no outside jobs. Is that the way to go? You really just can't have any other business at all, no matter what it is?
Well, what I said is that you can't have an outside job that conflicts with your primary responsibility, which is to serve the public. when you've got somebody who has a tax appeals of business that really focuses on lowering what the property assessed values is, that's money that's coming out of the taxpayers' available resources. When you've got somebody who is a lobbyist who's taking on clients whose interests are contrary to that of the city or the public, that's a problem. We have this kind of unchecked, whatever you want to do is fine with us, system that clearly is not serving the public interest well. So what I'm saying is, look, some people are going to need to have a secondary employment, even as aldermen, but that's fine. But you can't do it and compromise your integrity as a public servant at the same time.
I think that's really the issue here, is that the argument has been made for years and years and years. Like, this is a part-time job. Right. The people have other things. Mm-hmm. You've had many of them lawyers. Mm-hmm. Right. And many of them having either their own tax appeals or personal injury. Right. I mean, other things that could technically be contrary, because if you are going to bring in employees, you know, that may be government, the city of Chicago employees. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're representing them for a workman's comp or representing them for some, you know, whatever else it is. I think you automatically have a conflict of interest. So do you think that there is, if you were to become mayor, obviously that would be something you would be pushing for. Do you think you get that past the city council?
Well, I mean, part of the reason that we put this People's Pledge out there and let people know that regardless of what your policy differences are, regardless of where you are located in the city, that a basic compact with the public has to be that you're going to serve the public first. You're going to put people first. So I think that building that momentum, and we had great enthusiasm around this pledge and lots of people, frankly, calling us and saying, hey, where do I sign up, is really kind of pricking the consciousness of the public and letting them know that there actually is a path forward, that you don't have to just say, well, what can we do? This is Chicago. This has been going on for a year. No, we can make a change if we speak our values through who we elect and the issues that we articulate. So I'm hopeful, frankly, that this momentum continues to build in a positive way so that no matter what happens in the election, we're going to have different people in the city council. We're clearly going to have a different mayor, and of course I hope that's me. But the ability to just say, well, that was a phase, that was a moment, will be impossible.
You say you're the true independent, the true reform candidate in this race. And I guess I think people love the sound of that. But when we see people like Governor Rauner come forward and say, I'm going to buck the system, I'm going to fight Mike Madigan and others, and I'm going to, you know, change things. And you saw he was fairly unsuccessful at that. And you see this also with even Mayor Emanuel. He didn't strip Ed Burke of some of these powers that seem fairly obvious to most of us. It's a difficult thing to pull off.
I disagree with that, right? And look, there's going to be PhD programs written around the failings of Bruce Rauner and what he could have done differently over the last 4 years, and frankly his naivete about how to push for things that are important, but also compromise. That's the essence of our democratic system.
And yeah, you might want to tell Washington that too. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, believe me, absolutely. But and frankly, Rahm just did a cold political calculus that he didn't want to take on Ed Burke, and it wasn't worth the fight. But if you don't really care about putting people first, if you don't care about transparency, I just can't imagine.
Well, isn't it also prioritizing? I think to Anna's question, isn't it about prioritizing? I mean, if Rahm Emanuel came in and said he's going to blow up Ed Burke along with everything else, he blows a gigantic hole in the side of the city government, right? So the question is, whether we like it or not, Ed Burke had sewn up an entire corner of Chicago, literally a corner of Chicago.
He had, because people were complicit and silent. It is just recklessly irresponsible to let one person have control over $100 million a year. There is no way that you can put lipstick on that pig.
No, but we knew about it. I mean, everybody knew about that. Now, and the question when the feds first kicked in the door a couple weeks ago, everybody goes, "Oh, that's about workman's comp." It was like everybody knew that.
Question was, how could he be so sloppy? Not, oh my gosh, this is a shocker.
Yeah, right. It was like, I wonder if the feds are going to find anything, right? I mean, that's ultimately where we are here. And it is interesting to see. You have to wonder. These investigations don't necessarily self-generate, right?
Not public corruption cases. They do not.
Right. There are people who come forward, or people who, you know, there's sometimes it takes, there's gravity to them, in which there's a slide down the hill of things that come to the attention of the U.S. Attorney's Office or the FBI or whomever it happens to be. and they have to finally take action. And you just wonder who was pushing them to do that. I don't know that we'll ever find that out, but it's fascinating.
But what we do know is that this issue regarding the Burger King caper, I'll call it, right, that fell into their laps. They already had a wiretap up on Ed Burke's phones before the...
So why did they have a wiretap up? That's a great question, right?
So, yeah, I mean, there's been a number of subpoenas that have been issued over the years. Clearly, they've been looking at finance committee issues they issued in 2006, and I think more recently since then. Look, the money shot, right, is it's still the larger issue, probably revolves around workers' compensation and some stuff there. This thing fell into their lap, and so it was a nice little discreet incident that they could charge. But I think we're going to see much more because they had a wiretap up for a long time.
Okay, I'm out of time, but I'm going to ask you two questions, and just as quickly
speed
as you possibly
round.
Can. Do aldermen have too much power, and should we have fewer than 50?
Yes and yes.
There we go.
Oh, wow.
You're the best. All right, you might
politician
just get my vote
who does that
just for that. All right, thank you very much, Lori.
Thanks,
Lightfoot.
Lori.
Appreciate you being with us. She wants to be mayor. Let's talk now to Kim Gordon, who wants to be the news person, and she is. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Rose Sears survives for at least one more day.
Traffic being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems.